Welcome to Queer Stories, the podcast where two self-proclaimed gay icons discuss paranormal and true crime mysteries. Queer stories. Yeah, that's our new alternate theme song. I hope you like it. just composed it right there on the spot.
It was beautiful.
Thank you. I don't remember who's going first.
Nor do I.
Oh, fabuloso.
Oh, what did we do last week?
We have this conversation every week. Think, like, we'd be organised. Oh, listeners, it is episode 10, and
yeah,
we have decided every 10th episode we are gonna switch roles. So I'm gonna do the paranormal case, and Charlie's gonna do the true crime. Isn't that exciting?
I am so excited this week. I have done one of my favourite cases. Well, not favourite, but it's, everyone has that case where they're like, oh wow, that's fucked up, and it got them into true crime. And this is my case for me. So I'm excited.
That's it.
Yeah.
And I've had a bit of a fucking,
yeah, rough
weekend
one
all over the place. Yeah. So I've just got, like, I've plugged the first Reddit post that had an interesting title. And I'm not going to lie, I only read half the Reddit post, so it might devolve into ultimate depravity towards the end, but I'm hoping it don't. it's got a great fucking title, though, so buzzing. What did we fucking do last week? Who went first?
I don't know. I can't fucking remember what I did last week.
I read
a Ouija board story from Reddit.
You did.
Yeah, I did. And I think.
And I did something. I did the dead body, the torso.
Yeah, I think you went first.
That sounds about right.
I'm pretty sure you went first. I'm not sure, though.
I'm pretty sure I went first. Do you want to go first this time, then?
Yeah. Okay. I'm so excited. I've got a pair of scissors that I should probably put away.
Why have you got a pair of scissors? What are you gonna do?
I was cutting some stickers up, and I just had the stickers next to me. And I shouldn't be left alone, like, to fiddle with a pair of scissors, because bad things have happened before. So I've put them away now. It's all good.
I just thought that you were gonna be the next serial killer we cover.
Oh God, no!
With a pair of scissors here. Here he is, the podcast chopper.
With my snippy snip scissors. Oh, I wish I still had them. Damn. I'm looking at them now.
You've put them down for about 10 seconds. Like, I wish I still had them scissors in my hand.
I don't know what it is with me and scissors, man. I do this thing where I just constantly, like, snip, 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 snip them. I used to have, like, my teachers take away scissors from me in primary school because I kept doing it. And that's on my autism, so.
I can just imagine you in school being, like, surrounded by, like, like there's a radius around you in the classroom of children with their hair cut and, like, clothing snipped in places. And you're just sitting there going, snip, 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 snip.
No, but it was usually with, like, things like textbooks and stuff like that. I used to just, like, you know, snip, snip, snip the edges of the paper so it looked, it did, like, the little fray, and I used to play with that. So I often got told off for having scissors while anyone was talking or doing something, because I would just snip away. Never at other kids, though. I wasn't like that.
Are there any scissors in our story?
I don't think so, no. 'Cause this
Maybe
man.
just in the background of one of them. Maybe there's like a kitchen sequence and just in the background in a
Hang on,
drawer.
I'm just looking at the last. I wrote in my notebook this time because the information goes in better then. But I'm just looking at the last murder, and I don't think there's any scissors involved.
Oh. Well,
There's.
we'll insert some. We'll pop some in. We can
Yeah.
bend the truth for a pair of scissors.
I'll insert it when I think it's appropriate for a pair of scissors. Okay.
Yeah, good. Good.
Okay. So. I'm so excited, I'm sorry. The case that I chose this week was the case of Edmund Kemper and the 10 people that he killed. Some people might know him as the co-ed killer. That was kind of his coined serial killer name. You'll learn why in just a moment. So
What would your serial killer name be?
You know how like John Wayne Gacy's was like Bozo the Clown or some shit like that. Probably something the clown. I don't know.
Something the clown.
I'd
I
definitely be
feel
a
that.
clown killer. What about you?
Nutty Moira.
No. I like that one. That one's good.
Thank you.
Okay, so before I start, I got all of basically all of my information from Biographics YouTube. Obviously, I know a lot about this case anyway, but he had a really good video where it was just like a refresher, kind of like a lowdown of the case, which was very good. So I recommend going to check him out. Pooch.
Shout out to PooTube.
Yes.
Shout out to PooTube.
God. Is this when he was born? I in my notes I just have the date 1948 and Burbank written, so I assume that's when and where he was born. He was sensitive and intelligent, and he really like idolized his father. Back in Burbank with his parents, he used to live on a farm. I think they had something like a 7-acre farm or something like that. So he would spend loads of time with the farm animals, like. They were his pets, basically. He named them all and he loved them. Like obviously he spent a lot of time with his father and stuff like that on the farm with the animals. However, his mother wasn't exactly the nicest person. She was actually always reprimanding him. But he was kind of a well-behaved kid. She was just doing it out of, I think, her hatred for men.
Queen.
Yeah.
Girl boss. They hate to see a girl boss winning.
Yes, queen. But regardless of like he was always well behaved, so she really didn't have any kind of reason to be as vicious as she was to him, 'cause she was abusive, and he just generally didn't get along with his mother. So there was an incident on the farm where his father kind of killed two of his pet chickens in front of him, obviously to eat that night, because you know they're a farm, they eat the chickens.
They're gonna munch and crunch.
He ended up refusing to eat those chickens like at all, and this resulted in a fight between the family. But this continued. His father continued to butcher his pets in front of him, and he became used to it after some time. And he kind of saw that as normal. Like killing animals was an okay thing to do because that's what his father did to his pets. So he kind of associates this kind of thing as normal now. And he eventually went on to
I
kill a
kill
cat.
animals every day.
Oh, Alice, which ones?
Only the ones I create.
You create animals?
Yeah, every day I wake up, In the morning, I create a new species, and in the evening, I decide it's too evil and fucked up to live in this world, and I take it out.
That's fucked up, Alice. You can't play God like that.
I'm not playing anything, thank you.
So you're saying you are God?
Well, I mean, you said the words, but I'm not going to deny them.
We all know God is a black woman, so you can't be God. I'm sorry.
I could be a God.
Yeah. I reckon you're the God of destruction.
Bold of you to assume there's only one of us.
Well, so, I was just going by, like, Christianity rules, you know?
Christianity in this house?
Disgusting. That was a joke. Oh, Christianity is fine. I promise.
I don't think it is.
Alice...
I think we should do crusades against them.
No! Alice!
I'm going to start a religious war.
No! I'm not entertaining but this idea. Christian. I don't agree with Alice's ideologies. I agree with some of them. Only one half of...
You got a pope?
How many popes have there been?
There's only one pope, and when he dies, he gets reborn from the ashes like a phoenix.
He's a phoenix.
Yeah, that's where it came from.
I love that. So it's just one pope.
I mean, at the very least, I'll stand by fuck Catholicism.
Oh, true. I'll stand by that actually. 100%.
Okay, middle ground.
And fuck Scientology. That shit's a cult and not okay.
Oh god, yeah, I mean, we could do multiple episodes on that.
Ooh,
shit,
though. We should do a Scientology episode. Wait, no, they'll come after us.
They like to sue people.
They do, they really do. Or straight up just murder them, I've heard, apparently.
I don't think we're big enough to get sued or murdered. Although, having said that, they do like to sue people who really don't. Are small fry.
Like,
so
Scientology is, they're whack. They'll sue anyone that they want, even if we don't have the money. So I'm gonna not talk about Scientology anymore.
Girl bosses stay winning.
So after seeing all of this, you know, his pets being slaughtered and things like that, he went on to kill a cat. I think it was the neighbor's cat, and he did some bad shit to it, so... Oh, and also, before I continue, huge trigger warning for this whole case. Like, it's relatively mild right up until his second to last murder. But so before I get to the really gruesome stuff, I'll give another trigger warning because it's really hard stuff to hear. So,
what triggers?
Death. Sexual assault.
Bit late, but let's throw one out for animal death.
Animal death. Yep. So I'll put that in the description. Sorry, guys. sexual assault. Decapitation. Just general all round nastiness, disgusting scum of the earth shit that you never want anything. Like this to happen again. So right before I'll give multiple trigger warnings throughout, so so his parents later divorced. They divorced when he was 9. Around this time his mum began to become more abusive. He also had 2 sisters who, by the way, weren't affected by his mother's abuse, so she wasn't.
They weren't also killing cats.
No, they were. I'm sure they're relatively normal, but they didn't suffer any abuse from their mother. I don't think it's never stated that they did. But I'm sure she was a hard ass on them as well. But it wasn't to the extent that Mr. Ed experienced. So I just wanted to say that Mr. Ed. So she would often take her frustrations out on him. She once told him, her 9-year-old child, she once told him that all men were worthless and so from a really young age, he's learning that he's a piece of shit and women are going to constantly shit on him his whole life. And she shows...
I'll stay with it. I can't stop saying it.
It's okay. It's okay. He was moved to the basement room by his mother because, quote, she thought he was going to attack his sisters. Like, he was a large kid as well. I think as an adult he was 6'9". So as a kid,
Jesus,
yeah,
Christ.
he's massive. He's almost 7 foot, my guy. So you imagine being a hitchhiker, being picked up by this guy, and you're like, oh my fucking god, he's huge. It must have been Jesus. Terrifying. So
yeah.
We're still on his early life. Anyway, but he'd been moved to the basement by his mother. He didn't have a bed. He had a cot and a sleeping bag. And like, it just like this dank basement. Where this like, not, I really do feel for him at the beginning. Like, as a child, this is something you should never really experience. And it really... It's a huge case of nature versus nurture. And it's just, I don't know, this whole thing, I really feel for him as a kid, you know? I'm not saying I do it as an adult, because he's a piece of shit, but, you know, you don't ever want a kid to experience this kind of hatred. So, they moved to Montana after this divorce. And his mum remarried, but it didn't last. And then she went through a phase of having lots of boyfriends, everyone like coming in and out of his life. And he had no stable father figure for a really large period of time during that. So his first victims... is this next portion of writing is called his next victims. So by the time he's 10, he's actually driving, so he can drive a car.
10.
Yeah, I mean, he probably looked to be about 15 or 16 because he was so tall and just so he started driving and no one really suspected anything.
Nobody checked anything?
No. He was... I mean, this is probably, like, 19... like, maybe... Maybe 50s? Something like that. Because... Maybe 50s, 60s early? Something like that. Because no one really gave a shit back then in America with driving. So kids would... I've heard this before. Like, kids drove a lot when they were younger. So
that's
at 30,
messed up.
Yeah. So after living with
his 10.
I know. Like, see what I mean? Like, you
imagine you're like stuck at like some traffic lights and some bozo sat there and it's a green light and you're like, fucking go. And you beep your horn and then you pull round them and you look in the window and you see a fucking 10-year-old doing like Fortnite dances behind the wheel. I'd lose
He's
my flossing. Mind. I'd total my car then and there.
But he doesn't look like a 10-year-old. Like, I'm saying, he's fucking tall. Like,
he doesn't look 30.
What? He I guess he could probably pass for a 17-year-old. I don't know, Alice. I wasn't alive.
Well, that sounds like a you problem.
Yeah, it is. Okay, so he's driving during this period of time where he's living in Montana, constantly like seeing his mum's boyfriends come and go. And he decides 3 years later that he's had enough. He says, fuck it. At 13, he runs away from home to live with his father and new stepmother in LA. However, after a few months, his father sent him to live with his grandparents on their 7-acre farm, completely isolated from everyone. So it's very clear that his parents didn't want anything to do with him on both sides, which, again, very traumatizing for a 13-year-old boy. The sad thing is, his mother was just as bad as his grandmother, sorry, was just as bad as his mother. If not worse, I would say. And his grandfather had dementia, so he was really, really completely alone with an abuser on this farm. They were a family that had guns, as you would on a farm, and they allowed him to hunt small creatures with his gun, you know, out in the woods and like the farm area. So he spends a few years living with his grandparents, hunting with critters and stuff like that. And then he goes to visit his mother, which just ends very poorly for him. His mother seems to be like a huge trigger for his delusions and I would guess you would say hallucinations. So after returning to his grandparents' home prior to that visit, he pretended to leave the house with the guns to go hunting, only to shoot his grandmother in the head. He then killed his grandfather because, quote, he didn't want him to live through the pain. So after murdering his grandparents, reality set in. He called his mother, and she told him to turn himself in, so he did. When asked by the police why he killed, he said, "I wanted to see what it would feel like to kill Grandma." And he was 15 when he killed his grandparents, which obviously he's a minor, so he wasn't sent to prison. He was he served his time in a mental institution, where the doctors actually discovered that he had a genius level IQ, and he was diagnosed with paranoid schizophrenia. I've watched a lot of interviews of Ed Kemper because it's one of my special interests, so I'll just watch it all day. And I get vibes that he's got autism because he loves to talk about himself and kind of why he got into murder. Like, one of the things is, like, he won't shut the fuck up about things. He volunteered to do interviews for the guys that did the research on the serial killers and stuff like that, but he would not shut the fuck up about what he did and why he did it. So he's, I don't know, I get autism vibes from him.
I think a lot of serial killers like to talk about themselves, though.
Yeah,
I've been listening to the podcast True Crime Bullshit, which is about Israel Keyes, and he seems to sort of, well, he does eat, there's a lot of tapes on there of his interviews, and he seems to enjoy sort of talking about himself a lot.
Yeah, but I don't know, it's more in his mannerisms and body language and things like that, not just the way he speaks, you know. Anyway, I digress. This isn't related in any way. So during his time in the mental hospital, he thrived. He was on medication. Like, he was bettering himself with therapy and, you know, he was doing all right. So he was released after 4 years. Unfortunately, the judge made him return to his mum. So, I mean, the doctors really didn't want to do that. They knew that his mother was a huge trigger for his delusions and things like that. But ultimately it was up to the judge, and the judge just decided wrong. And I feel like a lot of this stuff could have been prevented had this judge listened to the doctors. I'm not putting all the blame on the judge. Like, there's lots of things in this kind of case that make you think, like,
he was, I mean, just at fucking this point, he's already killed, so.
It's like, it's one thing after another, just like fucking disasters. It's just fucked. By the time he was returned to his mother's custody, he was almost 7 foot. So,
did he ever stop growing?
Yeah, he stopped at 6 foot nine, and that's how tall he was for like Jesus. The rest of his life. Like 6 foot tall is enough. Imagine, like. His height fucking baffles me. He wasn't small either. He was kind of a chubby bloke. So he looks like he could overpower anyone in his way with just a fucking flick of his finger. It's terrifying, man. So because he spent so much time, like so much of his adolescence in kind of in and out of places, in the mental hospital. He was 21 when he went on his first date, and he really struggled to talk to women, kind of relate to them, even have like a genuine conversation with them without having these fantasies of brutally murdering them. It's just all fucked. He's set up with like a rigged start, and everything's fucking falling apart.
Might as well kill someone.
Might as well. He wanted to actually be a police officer, but because he
clocked.
Was too
fat,
right, pig. But because he was too tall, they didn't let him in. He was simply
that's a
too
stipulation.
Tall. Yeah, you have to be like a certain fucking height to be an officer. It's ridiculous.
How could you be too tall? I would have thought right? They want someone to be intimidating.
I know, that was my thought process. But I think it's so they can't be like, oh, what's that word, Alice? Physically intimidating them. That's what I was trying to think of. I think it's to avoid the kind of, he physically intimidated me kind of thing, you know? Anyway.
I mean, I think also all cops have tiny dick complexes, so they probably would vibe with someone taller than them and bigger than them physically.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like it's a bit of both, you know? Even though he didn't become an officer, he still became friends with people that were. So he would often spend his free time in like a little bar that was a regular place for officers and stuff like that, and he had lots of friends who were police officers.
Hold on.
What?
I would imagine if there's anything that stopped him from being a police officer, it's the fact that he was a paranoid schizophrenic and killed his grandparents. Not the fact that he was too tall.
Well, after he was released...
I imagine that was also on the notes, you know.
No. See, after he was released, his record was expunged because he was a minor, and they had deemed him like rehabilitated. So it was expunged. So it wasn't on his record anymore. So for a while, actually, he was, after leaving, he was quite independent. He even had his own apartment. But after a while, he hit financial difficulties and he had to move back into his mother's house. And they would get into some really intense arguments. And that ended quite, I guess you could say, violent on, violent from his mother. She again, like, she was so abusive to him, just constantly demeaning, she just hated men, and she projected that onto her son, I think. So he developed a habit of picking up hitchhikers, because he would leave the house for periods of time and just not want to go home. So he picked up hitchhikers, which wasn't uncommon in the 60s or 70s. Which is during this time period. And the reason he did this is because he had a fantasy of killing a woman he had picked up. So he practiced picking up these hitchhikers. And I mean, he did this over and over again before he had any before he had even killed his first victim. Like, he did this over 150 times just to prepare, just to see, like, every possible route that he could take to, you know, it, like, the analysis that he did for this was just fucking wild. And also, when speaking with his officer friends, they mentioned that young women and girls frequently ran away. So this gave him the idea of hitchhikers are often, you know, women that young women that are running away from their homes to go somewhere else, or, you know, so ding ding, light bulb in his head, his fucked up little cranium.
Why did he want to kill a woman?
I think, in my personal opinion, it really seems like his mother. He, I don't
just kill her.
Wait, you gotta wait for that. That's right at the end.
Okay.
Oh. Do you not know this case?
No.
Oh my god, I'm shocked.
Actually, I say that the name rings a bell because I feel like on my
you'll know of the co-ed killer for sure.
No, I've heard the name, but I don't know much about it. I think now that I think about it, I was like, who's that serial killer who killed their mum? Thinking, well, there must be one, and I googled it and I got the name Edmund Kempner or something, but I never looked into it.
Yeah, there's several. lots of serial killers have mother issues. But I believe he wanted to kill women because he hated his mother. And he, you know, generally as kids, you see your mother as a representation of women in general. And I think because of a lot of the trauma that he experienced, his brain didn't fully, you know, cross the wires, you know, something happened. I don't know. He was just angry at his mother and wanted to kill women, I guess, to get back at her. But, so through all of this, you know, kind of speaking to his officer friends and preparing by practicing picking up hitchhikers, he developed a plan to actually kill one of these hitchhikers. So this is the first murder, so trigger warning, sexual assault, and, you know, murder. On May 7th, 1972, he picked up two 18-year-old girls named Mary Ann Pesk and Anita Lucessa. He drove them to a secluded area in the woods, locked Anita in the trunk, stabbed and strangled Mary Ann before doing the same to Anita. After they were dead, he assaulted them and stuffed their bodies in the trunk of his Ford Galaxy. So while he had these poor women's bodies in his trunk of his car, he was pulled over by an officer, and the whole interaction, he was calm. He had no inclination that he had just murdered two women. He was pulled over for a broken tail light, by the way. He later dismembered their bodies and dumped the pieces miles away from each other in a plastic bin bag. So once this had happened, the local universities had told the students that you weren't to accept rides from anyone that didn't have this specific university sticker, like bumper sticker on their car. But it just so happened that Ed had one of those stickers. I can't remember how exactly he got it, but he had one of these stickers, so
he got it free with his cornflakes.
Yeah, exactly. So unfortunately, on September 14th, 1972, he picked up a girl of 15 named Aiko Ku, who needed a ride to her ballet lessons. He killed her in the same way. And, you know, assaulted her in the same way that he had previously. And then on January 7th, 1973, he killed Cindy Shaw. However, instead of disposing of her remains like the other girl, trigger warning, he removed her head, buried it in his back garden, facing towards his mother's bedroom window.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's fucked up. And
bit on the really nose.
Yeah, I mean, if you're really that angry, but... if you're really that angry with your mother, just, I don't mean to be a bitch, but kill her instead. You didn't need to murder all of these young women beforehand. It's just, trauma does fucked up shit to your brain. Sorry, I'm very upset because this man is very disgusting. So, her body was actually in the trunk of his car when he went to a state-mandated therapy session. And
so, how have you been feeling, Edmund? Oh, you know, not too bad.
Pretty good.
There's a dead body in the trunk of my car.
Yeah, and her head's buried in my back garden. So, you know, nothing special's been going on. Been doing okay.
Mother's been particularly annoying, but I'm wearing my ass with the unyielding gaze of the dead body's head.
Fuck. So after this therapy session, the doctor was like, "Yeah, you're good. I feel like you've been properly rehabilitated. You don't need any more of these sessions." So.
Okay.
It seems like
there's
either a slightly
incorrect assumption, but you know,
I mean, it seems like there's either, like, you know, kind of some negligent behavior from, you know, the authorities, I was just about to say he's like a really, really manipulative person, and he's good at masking it. I don't know.
Well, I mean, they typically are, aren't they?
Yeah. I think in this case, I don't think he was that smart. Oh, actually, no, he was a genius. Never mind. He was probably a really, really good at manipulating. Never mind.
Serial killers tend to be.
Yeah. So even though his cool down period between the murders was pretty substantial, like there were months between. He would still pick up hitchhikers between these periods of time where he wasn't murdering. And he would do this so that he would be able to get information about what the public was saying about these murders and him, essentially. And he would talk to his police officer friends, just getting inside information about what's going on with the case and what everyone is saying, which is so fucking ridiculous that these officers would talk about this case outside of work hours with the murderer. I don't know. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But then the LAPD is very... Wait, no, this isn't... And the police are just, like, fucking negligent anyway, so I shouldn't be surprised.
Police? Doing their jobs properly.
I would never. So on Feb 15th, 1973, he got into a really, really heated argument with his mother, and murdered two more women in the exact same fashion. And their names were Rosalind Thorpe and Alison Liu. These again, I think they were under like 18 years old or just 18 years old. And after this anger kill that he did on these two women, he finally made the connection between his mother and his mother being the trigger for these, you know, murders and things like that. And that's the point where he either knew or decided that he needed to kill his mother so that he would stop killing these women. However, before he could even execute this plan, it was put on hold when the police arrived. Fuck! When the police arrived at the Kemper residence. A few days prior to this visit, the police had received an anonymous tip from... No, it wasn't anonymous. They received a tip from a gun store where Kemper had bought a gun. But the guy selling him the gun had noticed that his record had been expunged and that he had been put somewhere for murder. Put in a hospital for murder.
Wasn't expunged people very well then.
Well, yeah, I either that or they have like special databases where they can see everything, because you know they're selling guns. I think that's how it works in America. I don't know.
They went down to the gun database house and they knocked on the door. Yes. And they said, "Let me look at this man."
Yes, that's how it happened. So Ed was polite. Didn't put any. Yeah, I'm fine. Just burpy. He cooperated. He led the police to his wardrobe where he kept the guns. Next to these guns was a woman's purse and a box filled with mementos from his victims. But before the police could notice, he distracted them and took them to his car. This evidence was right in front of the police and they didn't even see it.
Switcheroo on them.
Yeah, exactly. So after this visit, he was convinced that the police were onto him. So for an entire week, he planned his mother's murder. Okay, this is the point where it gets fucking gruesome. Like, the deeds that he did were fucking disgusting. So, if you don't want to hear it, maybe just skip to Alice's story. So, when his mother returned from a party, she was very drunk. And she woke him up by stumbling into the house at around 4 a.m. It was then that he decided that it was time to murder her.
It's time to kill your mum. It's time to kill your mum. It's time to kill. Yeah, yeah.
Alice?
Yeah.
I'm about to piss my pants. I've got to go for a pee.
Oh, that's all right.
I'm so sorry. I'll be back. I'm going to run. Where was I? What was it? Oh, yeah.
He was about to kill his mum.
Yeah. So he caved her head in with a claw hammer, decapitated her, sexually violated her head.
Oh, jeez.
Ripped out her vocal cords and shoved them into the garbage disposal. He placed her head on the mantelpiece to throw darts at it.
Jesus Christ, yeah, man!
Yep. When his rage subsided, he realised he really needed to make it look like a break-in. Which, well, first of all, how the fuck are you going to make that look like a fucking break-in? I mean... If you break it in to just fucking steal shit, all you're going to do is like stab someone if you get caught and run. You're not going to fucking take someone's head off and throw darts at it. Like, and then he makes the stupid fucking decision to call his mum's best friend. He tells her that he's made a fucking dinner for them or some shit. So when she arrives, he strangles her. And stuffs both their bodies into a closet. He also left a note for police. I don't know what this note says because I was too enraged at the time to look it up.
Why did he invite his mum's bezzy mate over?
I don't fucking know. I guess because she was the only one that knew his mum, and she would realise that she wasn't around. I don't know.
Hi, Linda. Hi, it's me, Edmund Kempner. Would you like to pop over for a cup of tea? Yeah. All right. See you in a bit. And she walks out, and he's just like, come on, grab a dot.
He's just covered in blood.
Grab a dot. She's over there. Give it a lob. Jesus Christ, man.
So after all of this, he just fucking packs his bags, drives away. For a while, he actually does okay. He speaks to a woman, and he doesn't have these fantasies of murdering them. But, you know, he feels a bit guilty for what he did to his mum. So he goes to a payphone, calls the police, and turns himself in.
I'm at a payphone trying to call the police.
So on the ride to the police station, he gave every single detail of his murders and his crimes, to the point where it actually made police feel sick. Like some officers vomited from hearing these stories. When in custody, he admitted that he couldn't control the delusions that he had, and he begged and begged and begged for a lobotomy. So that's when someone like drills into your head.
Yeah.
Because he didn't want to have these thoughts anymore. He was sentenced to 10 counts of first degree murder and is spending life in prison. And that's the story of Ed Kemper.
Are they still alive?
I think so. Either that or he died a couple years ago from like a heart attack or some shit because he was fat cunt.
Oh Christ, dear, he's still alive.
Yeah. Okay, he is then. Yeah, he's still serving life. You'd have thought
they'd have like sentenced him to death.
To death, yeah. After his heinous acts. So, I do apologise if that was, you know, kind of heavy. I mean, I know it is, but it's one of those cases, the first time you hear it, it sticks with you forever. So, you're welcome! Enjoy!
Have some of that, babes. Lap that shit up. Have fun! Right. Should we get on to my little case?
Yes, I'm so sorry I talked for so long.
Don't be stupid. Don't be daft. You're here to entertain and enlighten us, and you did that.
It's been 50 minutes. I just feel bad, you know? At least it wasn't like Ted the Caver, where it was fucking boring.
Oh, Ted the Caver was a bit of a slog, wasn't it?
Yeah, I fucked up with that.
Don't worry about it being a long one. The true crime ones are always long. I always go on for fucking hours.
Yeah, that's true. But I don't mind it when it's you.
Right.
Gives me a chance to play with some scissors.
Put the scissors down. Don't go cutting any hair. Like the hair on the hairy hands of Dartmoor.
Ooh!
This is the Hairy Hands of Dartmoor. Thank you to Reddit user u/blonderer. Fun username. They typed this little case up. It's not a long one. I couldn't be asked to read a long one because I was like, oh, I ain't got the reading comprehension. I've been at work all day and my brain's fucking shot.
Understandable.
Now, let's get crack-a-lacking. Should I just read it out? Should we just go, babes? It's written quite well.
Let's just fucking go, babes.
Let's just fucking go! Now.
Wait, hang on.
I'm hanging. Don't keep me hanging on the telephone.
I filmed it.
Okay.
Let's go!
Let's fucking go, babes. Imagine you're driving through the moors when suddenly you lose control of your vehicle. You may see a pair of hands that aren't your own taking control of your vehicle. This is what has been reported by a number of travellers on the B3212. What are the hairy hands of Dartmoor? Sorry, I can't not do it in a stupid voice because I'm just a cunt.
I love it.
I can't read with that. If I'm reading something that someone else has written, then I have to do a stupid voice because it's not me who wrote it, so it's not my voice, it's someone else's voice, and everyone else has a silly voice according to me, so.
I love it. I live for it.
Sometimes referred to as Hairy Hands of Devon, the mystery occurs on moorland in Devon, in the southwest of England. We all know where Devon is. That's not true. We have American listeners.
Is that the one where Moira Hindley and What's-His-Face did the things?
I thought that was the Yorkshire Moors, the Moors murders.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I think they were also called the Yorkshire Ripper. Wait, or is that a different
no,
thing?
No, the Yorkshire Ripper's a different bloke.
Oh, my bad.
Oh, no, it was okay. In and around Manchester, the Moors murders. I don't know what moors it was.
Oh. No.
Saddlewoof Moor. Which is, oh, that's part of the Peak District.
I think I've driven through that, you know.
Quite nice up there, apart from the dead bodies. Yeah. But Dartmoor's the one down in Devon, which is next to Cornwall. There's two down there, isn't there? Because there's Exmoor as well, which has the ponies.
Wait, I've been to that one. I've been to the one with the ponies.
Actually, I think they both have ponies.
Oh.
Have you been to Tiptree Heath? They have, like, Dartmoor Exmoor ponies there, didn't they? To like
that place is supposed to be haunted, I think.
Is it? Oh my god! Imagine if when lockdown lifts, we go to like Tiptree Heath and have like a little like live episode, record it.
Oh my god!
At night.
Oh my god, wig! Oh my god, we have to. Hello, I'm still here. Oh no! Fuck! Oh, I can still hear you, but you can't hear me. I can still hear Alice, but you can't hear me. I can hear Alice, but you can't hear me. Oh, we're both singing right now. I'm screaming. She can't hear me right now. Hello? Can you hear me? I haven't hit stop, I promise. I'm gonna keep all of this in.
Oh, can you hear me now?
I could hear you the whole time, babes.
Oh, I love that. I couldn't hear you at all. Everything froze.
I was singing and talking and replying to you. I can't wait to keep all of that in.
Oh, I love that. I love that. I can't wait to hear the other end of the conversation I was having. you froze when I said, "Oh, we should have a little like live episode out on Tiptree Heath."
I was so down for it. If you heard me, I would have been like, "Fuck yeah, I'm down."
Love that. I went on a date there.
Did you? How did it go?
Awkward.
Ah.
He was sweet enough, but I weren't really into him. And also, right, it's a nice gesture, but I showed up to this date and he handed me like a box of chocolates and some like a bouquet of roses, and I was like, I'm sure for some people that's really sweet, but I was just like, well, I feel a bit awkward
with
these.
Cringe.
Yeah, a little bit.
You have to
and
carry
it's a
them
cringe.
The whole time.
When that's like the first time, I was like, right, thanks. I'm gonna go stick these in my car, but thank you. but when it's like the first like time you've met someone and they're handing you these things, and you're like, fucking hell.
Oh,
that's yeah.
I didn't get you anything. I'd feel really awkward.
That's the thing. I felt awkward because I was like, I haven't got you anything. But also, like, I was like, this is a
I can see how we thought that would be nice for you. And
I can
I'm
get,
sure
yeah.
a lot of people
I wasn't
appreciate
like,
that.
Oh, how dare you. Like, it didn't. It was,
yeah.
But I was sort of like, oh, this is awkward.
Oh.
Like,
oh, I'm sorry.
This is my first time meeting you. I've not known you that long. We met. This is a fucking Tinder date, and you've shown up with like chocolates and roses. Okay.
I mean, maybe the second day it would have been like, oh, that's really lovely.
Exactly.
Thanks. But,
exactly. I think it's. Yeah. I think that's a second date gesture. I don't think it's a first date gesture. I think you come on too strong.
I definitely agree with that.
Yeah.
But some people would love that. I don't know. It's just not for us, I guess. Bless him. I hope he doesn't listen.
Oh, I don't think he does. I don't talk to him anymore.
Okay. I hope he's thriving.
Yeah. He was nice. He was just... I found him a little...
Not for you.
Found him a little bit dull. Also, I realised after the date that he reminded me, like, looks-wise, a little bit of my uncle, and then I couldn't.
Oh.
I couldn't.
Okay. That's fair.
Yeah.
That's understandable. Mm.
Right, anyway, Dartmoor, Exmoor, whatever one has the ponies. But we're on Dartmoor, the Hairy Hands of Dartmoor. Sometimes referred to as the Hairy Hands of Devon, the mystery occurs on the moorland in Devon in the southwest of England. We know where Devon is, babe, it's already established. A number of apparently mysterious... What does it mean, apparently mysterious? A number of apparently mysterious accidents have occurred in the same area, near Post Bridge. I'm going to Google that.
Don't know where
I wonder if I've been there. I've been to various places in Devon.
I passed we drove through a moors when we went to Cornwall, and it had ponies.
Oh, there's nothing.
And that's the extent of my knowledge.
Post Bridge is literally a place with a bridge and a post office.
Oh, God.
A very old-looking bridge that's got, like, no rail, like, nothing. It's just, like... some stone across a river, and there's a post office. Okay. Right, anyway.
Oh,
enough of us googling places in Devon. We're not booking a holiday. There's a pando on. The first reported incident was... he has used reported twice there. The first reported incident was reported in 1921 when a man was riding his motorcycle with his children in the sidecar. The children stated that their father was wrestling with the controls of the vehicle and shouted that they needed to jump clear. The children survived, but their father was killed.
Oh,
soon
God!
After, a bus driver described inexplicably losing control of his vehicle. Subsequently, further incidents occurred, including one with a surviving pillion passenger, sometimes reported as the sole rider, depending on the source, detailing that a set of hairy and calloused hands had taken control of the motorcycle against the driver's will.
Ooh.
Imagine if you were sat there and, like, some hairy hands just, like, were like, hello, I'm driving the vehicle now.
I would fucking freak. Honestly, I'd lose my mind.
Would you freak more or less if the hands weren't hairy?
I would freak the same amount, regardless of hair.
See, I don't know. I don't know whether the hairiness would be, like, so out there that it would actually take me...
I mean, it doesn't help.
I think that the hairiness is so out there that it would actually take me out of the fear and, you know, I'd just be like, oh, okay then. You know, like...
Oh, hairy!
Almost snapped me out of it. Oh my God, the way you said that reminded me of the Peep Show episode.
Which bit?
Where they cook the dog again. I know, I always bring it up.
Is
it's
that
always,
mummy?
It's always on my mind.
I love
Jeremy,
Peep Show.
What's wrong with this turkey? It's got hair on it.
Hair on it.
Mummy?
Mummy? Oh my God, they cooked Mummy!
And threw darts at her.
Oh, poor Mummy.
Did Edmund Kemper cook his mum?
No.
Oh.
I feel like it would have been better if he had.
Yeah, at least, like, Mark and Jez didn't throw darts at a dead dog.
Yeah, that's
they
true.
Did only kill it accidentally, I think. I don't remember the episode.
Jez ran over it with the car.
That sounds about right.
And he was like, oh fuck, so he put it in his bag.
Thank you for tuning into episode 10 of our Peep Show recap. Our Peep Show podcast, the Peep Cast.
Wait. Sorry, did I talk too much about Peep Show?
No, I just like that we keep bringing it up, and I just was like, oh god.
Peep Show is one of my special interests, so I'll just fucking talk about it all the time. I love it. I love Peep Show. My favorite scene ever is where they lock hands in the bathroom, and he freaks out and just busts the door down. He says something about like his dad locked him in a cupboard as a kid, and I love it. I live for it.
I like when they tie him to the bed and he's just like, "Can I have a little bit of crack?"
Drugs. That's when Jeremy throws the frisbee of drugs. Oh, I love it. I love Peep Show. Oh,
classic.
Okay, but we're not talking about Peep Show. We're talking about Hairy Hands.
Yeah, if you want that, you'll have to listen to our sister podcast, Peep Cast.
Wait.
It doesn't exist.
Don't give me ideas. Don't give me ideas.
Anyway, can't remember where I was. Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
These were the further incidents of the Hairy Hands. Some involved... I can't read because it didn't make much sense, but I've read it now it does.
Okay.
Okie dokie. Some involved in the incidents have described seeing the hands, but others have said that they could only feel them. Oh, that'd be off-putting. You could just feel a bit of hairbrush against you. Describe fighting for control of the vehicle, and many that they were driven off of the road. Other stories relate to horse and traps, bicycles and cars. One report in 1924 was made by a couple who were staying in a caravan. The wife said that a soul hand, with ill intent, appeared and only vanished when she made the sign of the cross. Okay, maybe I shouldn't have bashed Christianity earlier. It will protect you from the hairy hand.
Oh, fucking
the hairy hand sounds like a sketch from the CBBC show Stupid.
Wait, what was Stupid?
Do you remember the CBBC show Stupid, where it was King Stupid and he made people do stupid things, and there was a kid who ran around poking people going, "Devil Finger!
Bendy Wendy!" Oh, fucking, I used to love that show.
I'm yes. so glad you know what I'm talking about.
I love that show so much. It was my favourite as a kid to watch.
I'm glad that when I reference like obscure shit, you know what I'm talking about. But I know that I've probably alienated half the listeners. And you know what? I don't care, babes. I'm going to keep doing it.
Fuck them.
Fuck them.
Fuck the lot of you.
Fuck the lot of you. This is for us.
Yeah.
Wig, I feel that already. This isn't for you. This is just for us.
It's just us. Oh. Welcome to our podcast where it's just us.
It is just
we
us.
We don't care.
Another report was made in 1962 by a holidaymaker who had stopped to check a map in her car. Having scanned over the map, she looked up to see a large pair of hairy hands pressed against the windscreen.
Ooh.
Just like, reached out like, booba!
Oh,
making
like
grabby
boob. Hands
boob
boob.
What if some hairy hands appeared in your car while you're driving through Devon and they squeezed your tits?
Oh no. I don't like the thought of that at all.
In 2008 driver described the hands as appearing over her own while driving over his own rather while driving his vehicle. Some locals have blamed poor driving on unfamiliar roads as a cause of many of the incidents. If you've ever driven through like Dartmoor, Exmoor, all of them, they're quite hilly, they have these like
it's not fun.
It's yeah. You can understand how like some fucking tourist ain't from around there. Like there's a lot of sharp bends.
We've been those tourists, and it is fucking dangerous. I'm telling you.
Especially when there's a fucking horse on the road and you're just sat there.
Yeah.
And they don't move. See, they just stare at you like,
no, they
yeah,
don't.
What? I was here first. And you're like,
yeah.
I'm a car. You're a horse. I don't know what to do.
It's genuinely scary.
We've had to just sit there.
It's genuinely scary.
And cows. Cows love to sit in the roads.
Yeah, but they're cute. They won't hurt.
That's true. Well.
I've never met an angry cow. I have
in Norfolk. I walked through a field of very scary cows in Norfolk once.
Oh, that's funny. Did they attack?
No, but fuck me, we thought they were gonna. We went on like a boating holiday on the Norfolk Broads, and we moored up at this. We wanted to go to this like village, past Wroxham. But I think all the moorings were like taken, so we went further along, and there was just this church in the middle of nowhere that had a little dock, and you could moor there for free. It had a sign; it was like free mooring, one night only, or something. Like they didn't want you just staying there all the time; you could only stay like overnight for one night. But we moored up there, and it was only like a 5-10 minute walk to this village. But you had to walk up, and you couldn't walk along the road. The footpath took you through a field of cows, and they were these absolutely massive, like, I think they were all, like, either really dark brown or they were black. So it was fine walking there, although they looked really angry, but there were a lot of them sat down. We had to sort of tiptoe around them, and they looked, they were absolutely giant. But walking back, it was like fucking pitch black, and you couldn't see them because they were dark. Like,
oh no.
Walking through this, and it was like, we're gonna die.
That's scary.
So, yeah. Another local in Dartmoor has blamed the adverse camber of the road causing the drivers to lose control. Apparently, repairs were made to sort of adjust the camber a bit so it weren't so severe, but reports of weird occurrences and accidents continued. So yeah, it could be poor driving on narrow lanes. I missed a sentence. One suggestion was made that the vehicles lost control due to magnetic rocks on the moor, but this wouldn't explain the weird sightings. Also, what the fuck does that mean? There's magnets in the rocks.
Like, what?
That's
shut the
some
fuck up,
bullshit.
Doris.
Oh my god, actually, that was proposed by someone. Magnetic anomalies north of the Dartmoor granite. That was someone's master's thesis at Durham University. That proposal.
Oh, that's pretty cool. I mean, I don't believe it, but it's still pretty cool to do your thesis on.
I'm having a look, and actually I think this is just a thesis about magnetism in the rocks at in Dartmoor. I don't think it's proposing that cars are, you know.
Oh.
It's just like a geological paper. It's not about cars going off the fucking road because of magnetic rocks.
Well, that sucks.
This person looked up Dartmoor, found a paper about like magnetic rocks, and was like,
"Well, yeah, I'll
that must that. Be it. That's affecting the cars." Yeah, no.
Okay,
this is just a geological like essay. So fuck knows what Blonderer is on. But apparently, some people think it's magnetic rocks. Some people think it's the dodgy driving on a rock. I want to know how many accidents happen like around that area compared to like the rest of fucking Dartmoor or whatever.
Yeah.
Because all the roads are a bit fucking hellish. But yeah, there you go. That's the hairy hands of Dartmoor.
Amazing. I loved it.
The disembodied hand shows ill intent.
I don't like that it's hairy, but I still feel like if it didn't have hair, it would still be terrifying. You know?
Look, these ghostly hands, they belong to a bear. And when I say a bear, I don't mean...
Or Bigfoot.
When I say a bear, I don't mean the animal.
Oh, like a gay man that's a bear.
Yeah.
Maybe. Oh, maybe it is. I like that theory.
And my effort to make everything gay. The hairy hands of Dartmoor belong to some kind of some just a big gay bear.
Yeah. We love to see it.
We do stan. We stan him driving the straights off the road.
We do.
I just thought the worst thing, and I'm like, do I say that out loud?
Oh no. I can always edit it out.
Well, I was gonna say, imagine someone's driving along, like some bloke's driving along through Dartmoor, and then they look down and they're just getting a handy from like some hairy hands.
That
Well, it
That's
depends.
sexual
Some
assault.
I'm sure some people would be like, oh,
Oh,
all right. Oh,
hello.
let's roll with
Yeah.
this, yeah.
I think the majority of people would be like, what the fuck?
Oh,
And sue the
probably.
ghost.
Probably. Probably.
Yeah.
Right, shall we wrap it up?
I think we shall.
Let's wrap it all up and pop a bow on it, babes. Thank you for listening to Quiztries. If you enjoyed this episode, please tell a friend. It would really help us out. Please consider leaving us a rating or review. Our theme music was composed by Emily Glass, who you can find on Twitter at @EmilyXGlass. To get all the latest updates about our show, you can follow us on Twitter. Our username is @QueerStories. If you want to follow us individually, I'm at Slimelia, that's Slimelia. Charlie, what's your username? Tell the listeners.
My Twitter username is @SilvertonArt ST1, and that's where I'm most active.
And he sells lovely goodies and treats and wonderful trinkets and delights on his shop. So check that
Thanks,
out.
babes.
I'd also like to plug, it's not out yet. We've only put out a promo, but I'm featuring on another podcast called Five Rounds Rapid, in which I am bullied into watching all the classic Doctor Who stories from the very beginning. And I've been told they're not very good and I will suffer. So I don't know why I've signed up for it, but I have. So please do tune in.
I'm gonna give it a listen.
We'll be going through the stories. I'm going to be making notes, so you can bet that I'm going to be calling at least some of the classic Doctor Who characters gay icons or straight menaces, as the case may be.
Yeah.
So yeah, check that out. Check us out on Twitter. Check us out on iTunes. Leave a hashtag rating or review, babes.
Please.
Please,
Mwah.
please, please. Do it for us,
Go
please.
on, please.
Go on, please.
Go on.
You
This is a
know you
segment
want
where we beg
to.
for reviews.
Yeah, this is. Yes. Yes.
Yes.
But yes, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you very much for listening. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Ah.